This is the Convict Australia podcast. Thank you for tuning in. It was the start of October 1832 when a convict named Knatchbull whispered his cunning plan to escape into the ear of Alfred Turner. Alfred was a convict too. He had been sentenced to 7 years and transported on board the Bussera Merchant, arriving in 1828. Both men had recently been charged with forgery and had been placed on the Phoenix Hulk, which was permanently moored in Port Jackson. They were awaiting their passage to the secondary penal settlement of Norfolk Island as punishment for their crimes. At 5 feet 5.5 inches, Turner was slightly taller than Knatchbull, who was only 5 feet 2.75 inches. But Knatchbull had a confidence that commanded attention. He had dark brown hair, ruddy cheeks, and piercing blue eyes. Knatchbull's self-assurance and commandeering personality probably came from his previous career with the British Navy, where he had risen to the rank of captain. Turner stooped slightly to hear Knatchbull. Turner also had dark brown hair but had hazel eyes, a fair, ruddy complexion, and had pockmarks on his upper lip, which was most likely a sign of an earlier bout of smallpox. Turner listened as Knatchbull relayed his devious plan to wait until they were all on board the Governor Phillip, which was to convey them to Norfolk Island in the coming days. He and his conspirators were going to poison the crew and guards, take command of the ship, and Knatchbull was going to use his skills to sail them to South America. The thought of obtaining his freedom strongly appealed to Turner. Like all the men on board the Phoenix, he was dreading the thought of going to Norfolk Island. There were terrible rumours circulating amongst the prisoners that Norfolk Island was hell on earth. But as much as he wanted to be free of his confinement, he was sickened at the thought of poisoning so many innocent men. He may have had a criminal past, but he had never committed murder. He feigned his enthusiasm to Knatchbull and kept his concerns to himself. Besides Turner, there are about 12 convicts in on the plan. Knatchbull had obtained 4 pounds worth of arsenic from a friend, and they had sewn it into a pillow belonging to a convict named Smith for safekeeping. They planned to smuggle the arsenic on board the ship that would sail them to Norfolk Island. Then the convict assigned to cooking their meals would lace the crew and guards soup. Arsenic poisoning was a horrible way to die. Once ingested in high quantities, it can start taking effect within 30 minutes. The early symptoms are headaches, confusion, drowsiness, followed by nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, a violent red rash, muscle weakness, severe cramping and convulsions, until finally the victim suffers seizures and dies. The more Turner thought about the plot, the more uneasy he felt. But when he overheard Knatchbull describe his plans for the rest of the convicts on board, he made the decision to try and thwart them. Knatchbull had said that only 12 of them would be sailing on to South America with him. The remaining 50-odd convicts, which included Turner, would be made to walk the plank and face certain drowning. Fearing for his life, Turner discreetly informed the captain of the plan that was afoot. The captain supplied Turner with pen, ink, and paper, and asked Turner to detail the plot and promised to send it to Windeyer and Thompson, two magistrates of Sydney. But when the magistrates read the letter, they decided to take no action. They weren't really convinced that anyone would do such a thing. They told Turner to keep quiet and alert the captain if or when it was about to take place. 3 or 4 days later, on a Tuesday, the convicts were loaded onto the Governor Phillip. Smith successfully smuggled his pillow with the arsenic on board. By now, there was about 15 to 20 convicts in on the plot. David Hannon had been selected as the cook who was going to cook up a batch of pea soup in the copper and slip in the arsenic. He was also to supply them with a knife. Once the effects of the arsenic took hold, the convicts planned to rush the guards and crew and kill anyone who wasn't yet dead and throw them overboard. They would then make the rest of the convicts walk the plank and set sail to South America. Over the next few days, the convicts set about filing their irons away, using the knife that the cook, Hannon, had supplied them. However, this task was quite noisy, and they needed to somehow disguise the sound and make sure no one would be paying any attention to them. They did this by creating a diversion. Each night, they sang at the top of their lungs and clapped their hands and stamped their feet to the beat to conceal the noise of the jagged knife soaring through the irons. Slowly but surely, each man's irons had been sawn through, and also some of the chains running between each leg. On Thursday afternoon, when Knatchbull and his conspirators were getting closer to being ready to execute their plot, Turner seized his chance. He borrowed a newspaper from a sergeant on duty and discreetly managed to pen the words, "Beware of poison," and "Look to the irons," in the margins without any of the other convicts noticing, and cautiously handed the newspaper back to the sergeant. When the sergeant read the message, he immediately sought out Captain Richards. Upon hearing that the plot was underfoot, both men then took Turner into their protection so they could question him. By now the ship lay just off Lord Howe Island. It was late Thursday evening and the wind ripped through the ship. Captain Richards ordered the chief officer, Mr. Hindmarsh, to shorten the sails and ready himself for any eventuality. He then armed the officers with dirks and firearms, and they proceeded down into the dark and putrid depths of the ship where the convicts were held. When Knatchbull saw the officers descend into their space, he was ready to kick things off and to start the riot. But when he saw that they were armed with dirks and firearms, he held back. The officers went about inspecting leg irons. The men had done such a great job of filing the irons that it was hard to find the place where they were cut and took them some time. Knowing that Knatchbull was the ringleader, the officers quickly seized him, hauled him upstairs to the top deck and handcuffed him and winced him up to the main brace, where he was left dangling mid-air, his feet kicking wildly in frustration. The officers systematically searched every convict and discovered the arsenic on a convict named Wright. For the rest of the trip, security was stepped up and a close eye was kept on the convicts. When they arrived at Norfolk Island, the convict men involved in the plot were marched to the jail and were confined with double irons. The planned conspiracy was reported to the commandant, Colonel Morissette, who ordered a full and thorough investigation. All findings were sent to Sydney and handed to the governor. News of the attempted poisoning soon spread around Sydney, and an article about the incident was published in the Sydney Gazette. At the time, Sydney residents were used to hearing plots of escape and criminal intent, so nothing really shocked them anymore. However, this was a sensational story that had everyone talking. This gang of poisoners were nicknamed the Tea Sweeteners. Knatchbull's name became more well known than the famous bushrangers of the time. He was respected and looked up to by other criminals, and he used this influence to hatch another plot. This time, more devious and more cunning, and on a much bigger scale than his last scheme. But that, my friends, is a story for another time. Thank you for listening to the Convict Australia podcast. If you'd like to show your appreciation and get more involved, there are a number of ways you can. The first is by signing up to Convict Australia on Patreon, and you will get some perks like the Convict Australia newsletter. Secondly, leave a review and tell your friends and family. This really does make a huge difference. And lastly, join the Facebook and Instagram group Convict Australia. All the links I've mentioned will be in the show notes. Thank you again. Till next time.